people, listen, please. If your life were to end today, where would you spend eternity?
Welcome to the Cross Currents Radio Show, your spiritual speaker's corner, broadcast, and podcast. Poverty, what is it? Jesus said that we will always have the poor with us, but what are we supposed to do about it? Among other things, the experts recommend giving, talking to the government, and engaging with others about this issue towards a solution. But do these responses really get to the core of the problem? In this breakthrough series of TCC Radio, we're working with preacher, author, and blogger Aaron Armstrong, both in the studio and on the street, to talk truth about how and when poverty will end, once and for all. And now, let's join TCC Radio host Corey McKenna in the studio.
Hi, I'm Corey McKenna. Welcome to the Cross Current Radio Show and part one of this special series called Awaiting a Savior. In the studio with me is Aaron Armstrong. Aaron is a writer for an international Christian ministry focused on caring for the needs of the poor. He's also an itinerant preacher, a theological blogger, and an author. Hope I didn't forget anything there, Aaron. Well, Aaron's first book is called Awaiting a Savior, and it carries the subtitle The Gospel, the New Creation, and the End of Poverty. Big shoes, Aaron, and I'm hoping that we can fill them by the time the credits roll in this series. And it is great to have you on TCC Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Bottom line, Aaron, this book is about ending poverty. And maybe you can set the table for us by sharing what motivated you to write on such a hot topic. I mean, a topic not just in the culture that's sort of a hot issue, but in the church as well. Maybe you can tee this up for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you mentioned in the introduction, I work for a Christian ministry, and we help kids in the developing world and are seeking to end poverty in their lives. And because of that, I've been exposed to a lot of the conversation around poverty alleviation. Is it possible? Is it not? How do we motivate Christians appropriately to give and participate in this kind of work? And there's just a lot of stuff out there. Some of it's really helpful, some of it's not so much, and being exposed to it caused me to want to go and really investigate for myself, see what the Bible says, see what it really means for us to care for the poor, and where the problem of poverty began, where it ends, and what it means for us in the meantime.
Yeah, I mean, I would even speak for myself, Aaron, that when we watch those images and a guy like yourself who's so entrenched in that sort of ministry atmosphere day after day, week after week, month after month, I mean, your heart breaks for what we see in the world. And obviously, people that even made in God's image, even non-Christians, are sort of jumping on board to want to help in humanitarian ways. And that's in and of itself not a terrible thing, but yet we want to ground our thinking, certainly in Scripture, and hear what Jesus has to say about this issue. And before we blow it wide open, we're going to hit the streets to hear from a Christian and a non-Christian about the problem of poverty. Check it out.
In the studio and on the street with the Cross Current Radio Show.
So it's Jeff.
I'm talking with Al.
Al, thanks.
So you are a follower of Christ, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What comes to mind when you hear the word poverty?
Third world country.
Yeah.
Lack of tithing, lack of Christianity. I don't believe there's any room for poverty within Christianity. I believe the people who are Christians and are in poverty just haven't had the right teaching. If they get the right teaching, they can come out of it.
Where do you think poverty comes from?
I think poverty comes from lack of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, or lack of belief in the scriptural, what the scriptures say on prosperity.
Okay. All right. I think I know the answer to this, but it's a broad thing. You think that poverty is a spiritual issue?
Most definitely.
Okay. Would you say that the fall of man has something to do with that?
Definitely.
I
believe that when God created the Garden of Eden, he put man in the Garden of Eden, he definitely intended man to be prosperous. Everything that he would ever need was located in that garden. When man fell and got expelled from the garden, well, then obviously he had to work for what he had. My firm belief is this. If man had never fallen, then the Garden of Eden would have expanded as humanity expanded, and it would have covered the earth if man had never fallen.
Right. So if poverty is a spiritual issue, can we ignore that reality in our attempts to care for the poor?
Well, I believe with the poor, you take care of their needs, but you also have to teach them spiritual things to bring them out of poverty.
Okay. Do you think Christians are doing a good job of caring for the poor?
No, definitely not.
Okay, why aren't Christians doing a good job handling the poor?
Because all the Christians want to do is feed the poor. They don't want to teach the poor. Mm. I know a woman who has a program going now. Actually, it's at the end of the Good Shepherd in Sarnia.
Yeah.
And what she's doing is she's taking the poor, and she's not only meeting their physical needs, she's meeting their spiritual needs also. And she's teaching them to come out of poverty, which she did herself. 5 years ago, she was a single mom with nothing going for her. She's been back to school. She's graduated from school, and now she's helping others. She had help from people. She had help from her church. And she was taught the right things.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing.
Wow. Did you know that from the very beginning, Christians have been at the forefront of every major effort to care for the poor?
No, I wasn't aware of that. Well, Jesus did say you will always have the poor.
That's right.
So he was saying it was going to be a never-ending problem, and we were not going to solve it by giving them a turkey at Thanksgiving. The way we're going to solve it is it's the old thing. If you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach him to fish, you feed him forever. We need to teach him the principles to come out of poverty, not just alleviate the symptoms of poverty.
Al, thank you.
Okay, sir, what's your name?
Brandon.
So the first question is, to you, Brandon, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word poverty?
Homeless people.
Homeless people? Okay, so how would you define poverty? Like, what is poverty?
Like, people who struggle with life and have to spend their life on the street and everything.
Yeah, because of...
They can't afford anything.
Yeah, so they don't have much money.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So what do you believe are some of the causes of poverty?
I believe, like, people who don't, like, graduate or, like, drug abuse and other stuff like that.
Oh, okay. What do you think motivates someone to want to help people who struggle with poverty?
I don't know about that question.
No, do you think, there are people who want to help people,
yeah.
Right? How about you? Do you feel like you want to help people if you see someone who's impoverished?
For sure. Like, I would love to donate, like, clothes and everything.
Like, what's your reason for wanting to do that? Why don't you just say, who cares?
Because I feel bad sometimes because people struggle to buy things and they can't do it. And they just have a hard life and they don't know what to do.
Okay, so... whose responsibility is it to do something about poverty? Who do you think's ultimate responsibility is it?
Everyone.
Okay. Do you think poverty can ever really end?
For sure not, because it's around everywhere.
Yeah, so you don't think that there's any hope of it ever totally being obliterated?
Yes, because some people do use it for drugs, such as welfare, paychecks, as for drugs. They don't use it for what they need.
Yeah, okay. All right. So what would you say if I could tell you the single root cause of poverty and the solution for poverty? Would you want to hear it?
Yes, sure.
Okay. What the Bible teaches about why people are impoverished is because of sin. That's the root cause of all poverty. Does that make sense to you, do you think?
Yes, I think.
Do you have any kind of spiritual background at all?
Yeah, like I believe in there's something out there watching over us.
Do you know what sin is? If I asked you, give me a definition of sin. Do you know what it is?
Like, everyone? Like, I don't know.
Well, okay, so here's what the Bible says. The Bible says sin is breaking God's law, okay?
Okay.
So it's just transgression of God's law. So were you raised in church or anything like that?
No, I wasn't.
No?
I used to go to church when I was, like, maybe, like, 8. But
okay.
Then I stopped going to church.
When I say God's law, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so an example of God's law is the Ten Commandments. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
Do you think you could name
all,
any of them?
I know, like, a couple, like, they shall not steal, and that's pretty much, like, I can't remember them. It's been so long.
Yeah, yeah, I understand, man. I understand. A lot of people say that they know them and then can't name a single one. And that's just because we don't talk about them, right? Like, you don't really apply it in your own life, right? So, here, let me, we'll go through a few of them, okay? And you can tell me if this is something that you've done or not. Because the Bible says that in the end, we're all going to stand before God and be judged. Do you think that that's true?
I have no clue. No one knows.
Okay. So the scriptures say that we will. It says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. So we'll all stand before God in judgment. He'll judge us based on the things we've done in this life, okay? So one of his commandments is, thou shalt not steal, like you said. Have you ever done that?
I have before, but I hope God forgives me for it.
Okay, so that's a yes, you have.
Yes.
Guilty of stealing.
Yes, I am guilty.
Okay, how about thou shalt not lie? Have you ever lied?
No, I'm not a liar. I'm a loyal person.
Have you ever told a lie?
Never.
In your entire life, you've never told an untruth?
I'm a loyal person.
Okay. I don't know if you're lying to me right now.
I'm not.
Okay, man, that's fair. Fair enough. All right. I shall not use God's name in vain is one of them. Have you ever used God's name in the same way you'd maybe use a curse word or a swear word?
No.
Okay, Brandon, here's one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you know what adultery is?
No.
It's basically cheating on your wife. Here's what Jesus said about adultery. He said, if a man even looks on a woman with lust, he's already committed adultery with her in his heart. He sees that and he considers that the same as adultery. Have you ever done that?
Well, yes, I'm allowed to look, but that's about far I can go.
Yeah, but God, who sees your heart and sees the things that you do, says that's against his law. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay, have you ever hated somebody?
Yes, but I get over it.
Well, here's another. The Bible says that hating someone is the same in God's eyes as committing murder. So out of just a few commandments that we went through, you've admitted to stealing, committing adultery in God's eyes, and murder in God's eyes. So, Brandon, if you were to stand before a perfect God who knows even the deepest thoughts, do you think you'd be guilty or innocent?
Innocent. Everyone makes mistakes, and he said, the past is the past.
No, but hey, you know what? A lot of people say that, right? But that's not at all what the Bible says, right? The Bible says that he must punish all sin. He can't just overlook it, because then he wouldn't be just. The Bible says that the penalty for all sin is hell forever, because God says all of us deserve it, and there's nothing that we can do to get out of it, right? But there's something that he did to help us and so that he could forgive us. Do you know what God did to so that we could be forgiven?
No.
No? You've heard of Jesus Christ, right?
Yes, I have.
All right. He was fully God and fully man, the Bible says. He came down from heaven and took on a body of flesh so that he could live as a man like you and I. And what he did was he lived a perfect life and never broke God's law. And then at the end of his life, Jesus Christ died on the cross. What the Bible says happened is on the cross, even though Jesus was perfectly innocent, he took God's wrath against sin on himself and paid for it on the cross. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, defeating death, defeating hell, defeating the grave. And the Bible says that anyone who throws themselves on the mercy of God and trusts Jesus Christ to pay for their sin. So if you will look at Jesus Christ and realize that he was innocent, and he died the death that you deserve, because you're the one who's a criminal, not him, right? But he died in your place, and he died to pay God penalty for your sin. And all you have to do is turn from your sin, the Bible says, repent. That's what the word repent means, is turn away from the way you're living now and turn toward, when as you turn your back on your life, you turn your face towards Christ, and you trust him to pay the price for your sin. The Bible says that you can be forgiven, not because God just overlooks your sin, but because he takes your sin from you, he puts it on Christ, and in exchange, Christ gives you his innocence. Does that make sense?
Sure, yes.
Then when God looks at you, he sees you, Brandon, as perfectly innocent and perfectly clean. And that's the only way that you can be right with God, and you can enter heaven when you die and enjoy God's presence forever. But okay. Hey, thanks a lot for your talk tonight. Yes.
Thank you for talking to me. It's very surprising to hear what you had to say, and I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot, Brandon. Have a good night.
Canada needs Christ. Will you prayerfully give to our great mission of airing and sharing? Airing, this outreach radio show further across Canada and equipping more churches in Canada to share Christ? If so, go to thecrosscurrent.com/give and choose the giving option that's best for you. We thank God for you and your partnership in His gospel.
Personal. Let's get personal. And make sharing your faith a part of every day.
Welcome to Let's Get Personal, a 60-second sample of personal witness training with the Cross Current. Christian, have you listed out the lost in your life? God's already placed you within a plentiful harvest of personal contacts, so commit their names to paper and begin praying for God to give you the boldness to share Christ and for God to give them the desire to receive Christ, because faithful prayer is step one toward faithful personal witness. And that's just a glimpse of how TCC can equip you and your church to normalize sharing Christ in all your personal relationships.
Personal. For more personal witness center training, visit thecrosscurrent.com.
Hello, this is Paul Washer, and you're listening to the Cross Current Radio Show.
Welcome back to the studio of TCC Radio, where we're talking with author Aaron Armstrong about ending poverty. Man, if those street segments are any indicator of what kind of feedback we can expect from this issue, I think we're in for a fascinating four-part series. Okay, Aaron, let's talk more about awaiting a savior. Right out of the gate, in the introduction, no less, you lay out sort of your thesis for the book by saying this: the basic premise of this book is that our good faith efforts to address legitimate questions of poverty and injustice must never lose sight of the fact that poverty will persist as long as the heart of man is ruled by sin. Now, that is a big bomb to drop, bro. Can you unpack that a bit for us and sort of let us know what you're thinking there?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the big issues that's with poverty alleviation is really understanding the origins and thinking about where does this thing begin. And so when we as Christians look to a social issue like this, like any other issue, what we need to do is we need to look back to the beginning. And in our case, that means the very beginning, in Genesis 1-3, because every single good and bad thing that we see in this world find their home there. And so what we see is in Genesis 1-2, of course, we see the creation of this world that God had created good, and that it was a world where everything was perfect, everything was the way that it should be, that the first humans enjoyed an unbroken relationship with God. They were able to have fellowship with Him face to face. They had a perfect relationship with one another, and they had a perfect relationship with the rest of creation. So everything was harmonious and as it should be. And then we get to Genesis 3, when everything goes down the toilet, because sin enters the world with the eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And immediately we see all of those perfect and harmonious relationships broken. We see that relationships between the man and the woman are going to be marked not by unity and harmonious living and mutual submission, but by fighting and blame shifting. Our relationship with God is going to be marked not by our joyful submission and seeing Him as our Father, but by this desire to compete with Him and actually be Him instead of being satisfied with being like Him. And finally, with creation itself, where once the earth gave its fruit willingly and easily, that work was not struggle and toil, work became difficult, and that man would eat by the sweat of his brow, and that the earth would give forth thorns and thistles before it would give forth good food. And so all of this comes together to create this world where essentially, where once there was no way for poverty to exist, where functionally poverty has become the default mode of creation and of human existence, in a very holistic sense. So not just in terms of material needs, but relationally and most importantly, spiritually.
If you're just tuning in, that's the voice of Aaron Armstrong, the author of Awaiting a Savior. And Aaron, you know, I think for the benefit of those listening who are Christians, it's so, so important, Christian, that we understand the narrative of Scripture, that big picture of creation and fall and redemption and restoration. You know, Aaron, when I teach this material, these types of things to Christians myself as an equipping evangelist, I tend to sort of explain it like it's like some people have these little puzzle pieces without the box that contains the picture. And they're trying to make sense of these little pieces in isolation without getting the big picture of what Scripture says. And that's just not, that's not a wise way to study Scripture, but it's also not a biblical way to study Scripture. The word here is context. What is the context of the poverty issue as it enters sort of our headspace when we open the Bible? Now, the plot thickens even further with this statement on page 23 of your book. A fallen world inhabited exclusively by sinners. That is the essence of poverty. Sin and the effects of sin throughout creation is the poverty from which all other poverty flows. So it's your contention that at the core, poverty is a spiritual issue. Well, if that's true, then as Christians, how do you believe God wants us to help them in a balanced biblical way?
Well, that's exactly the thing. You said it yourself, a balanced and biblical way. So what that means is that we can't just look at the issue of poverty as being simply a material thing. So we can't just throw money at a problem and expect it to go away. At the same time, we can't over-spiritualize it and say that material issues aren't issues, because they most certainly are. And to neglect those things is actually to violate Scripture. James himself said that in his book, that if you say you love God and you see someone in need and you don't do anything about it, do you really love God?
So obviously, our attempts to help the poor can't ignore their spiritual condition. I mean, in the big picture, you believe, and Scripture would say, that the root cause of the poverty problem is sin. And you have something else to add?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. The root cause of poverty is sin. Now, what that doesn't mean, and this is important, what it doesn't mean is that people who are living in impoverished circumstances, it does not necessarily mean that their personal sin is causal. So it's not that this person did something wrong and therefore they are poor. That is a teaching that, frankly, is straight from the pit of hell. And if you believe that, and if that's what you hear I'm saying, please, please understand, I am not saying that at all. When I talk about sin as being the root cause of poverty, what I mean is that this is just the larger context in which we live. We live in a world that has been broken and marred by sin, and so it affects everything in every way. This is why Paul talked about the world groaning and longing for its redemption. So this world that is longing for redemption needs redemption, and that's what we're looking forward to.
Christian, hear that, please, that Aaron's addressing here the universality of sin, the idea that we are all in this together. We all have played our part, and just really important to make that distinction, that it's not directly that person's sin that's put them there, but it's the universal problem of sin. Now, you suggest, though, a second sort of related cause of poverty as well. You say this: our desire for significance, wow, twisted by sin, always drives us to rob God of his glory and make a name for ourselves instead. This pursuit will always fail, and quite often we will do substantial harm to our fellow man in the process. God will share his glory with no one, and he will thwart any attempt designed to make a name for ourselves. Now, what's that about?
Well, I mean, that really is the default mode of the human heart from Genesis 3 on. We all want to make a name for ourselves, and we see that most significantly in the story of the Tower of Babel, where humanity, after the flood, rather than dispersing among all the world, decided to stay together and build for themselves a tower, and as they said, literally to make a name for themselves. So what we see here is that there's this issue of pride. We want significance. We want glory. We want all of these things. And within the poverty alleviation community, there's this really strong desire to, and I think it's genuinely motivated by good intentions, but what it is to be the generation that ends poverty for good. And generally speaking, it's limited to extreme poverty.
I understand. So we sort of want almost the accolade for that. It's kind of like self-glorification, I think you've said in your book, and so true. Now, most of our listeners will know that TCC Radio is an outreach radio show that's all in for preaching the gospel and really equipping the church to do the same. But some people might be wondering, why in the world are you covering the subject of poverty? Like, what does poverty have to do with preaching the gospel? Any comments on that, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, preaching the gospel has everything to do with alleviating poverty and with the issue of poverty in general. I mean, when it comes to dealing with the issue of poverty, you have to deal with all of the needs of a person. And that means dealing with their most significant need, which is reconciliation to their Creator. Someone can gain all the material possessions in the world. They can gain all the educational opportunities. They can have access to all of the healthcare and all of the wonderful things that we have been blessed to enjoy in this country. But if they don't know Christ as their Savior, they might be living their best life now, but what's waiting for them at the end is something I don't even want to think about.
Absolutely true. Again, this is a spiritual problem, folks. And yes, it has material consequences to it because we live in a material world. But these are spiritual issues that we're dealing with. Now, as we wrap up part one, I want to share one last quote from the book that I believe will help set our course for the rest of the series. You say, "Our only hope for an ultimate solution to poverty is in the return of Christ, when He will put an end once and for all to sin, suffering, and death, and bring about the new creation. That's the hope I want to share with you in this book." Now, amen to that. Not only is Christ for the hope of the whole world, but He's also the hope that I hope you'll share with us throughout this series of TCC Radio as well. Well, Aaron, you've already given us lots to think about concerning the truth about poverty and our involvement in it in this part one. And next time in part two, we're going to dialogue further about this destructive desire we all have for personal glory and significance. In the meantime, you'll find Aaron Armstrong online at bloggingtheologically.com. And we also invite you to visit us online at thecrosscurrent.com, where you can access all of our outreach radio programs and more info on giving to our great cause of airing and sharing Christ right here in Canada. Until next time, I'm Corey McKenna, in the studio and on the street, keeping the cross current in our culture.
The Cross Current and TCC Radio are praying for the Lord to align us with a like-minded partner church to continue this outreach radio broadcast in your area. Could that be your church? In addition to equipping you by example to share the gospel, TCC can help your local church gain maximum ministry exposure with both Christians and non-Christians in your community through promoting your church right here on TCC Radio. To explore the possibility of becoming a partner church, please email us at partners@tccradio.com.